largest planet of them all. And it has a red spot bigger than Earth. And it's the largest planet of them all. And it's a billion miles from Earth.
I want to welcome you out to the This Week in Mormons. It's Big Al and Jeff Jabrody here in the mornings. Every week we come to you.
Hold on. My name is Jeff Jabrody now?
Yeah. Okay. That seems normal, right? Yeah,
sure. Whatever. It's fine.
We do This Week in Mormons, I was saying, and it's a religious podcast full of witticisms bordering on humor. We like to tell jokes and yes. stories of uh-huh. the week. Uh-huh. Those are the things that we do.
We're going to be honest with you, listeners. Right now, we are attempting to recreate the magic of the first 6 minutes of this show because we failed through technology initially when we started.
I feel like we're setting ourselves up. This is like when you get up to give a talk and you're like, well, the bishop just called me yesterday, so I haven't prepared anything. And everybody's like, oh, great, here we go.
No, I really want to drive the expectations as low as possible, at least for the for the first few minutes. Fine. After that, all bets are off. Who knows what's going to happen?
It could get crazy in here, people. That was the first time in 196 episodes, I believe, that I've ever started the show, Jeff. Did you know that?
I did know that. I thought it was 193.
No, we are on episode 196. Fun fact.
We are.
Jeff, I keep tally marks. I have filled up three belts.
It's actually pretty exciting. So four more episodes after this, we hit the big 200, man. Bicentennial. Woo!
Then we're out. We're done.
Al keeps saying it's over, and I can't.
What is our goal with it? What's our exit strategy? How do I get out of this?
There is no exit strategy. This is a life commitment.
We're here forever.
This is like being called to the 12.
People, if you want this show to continue, you need to donate now. Jeff needs money.
Well, there might be some truth to that at some point, though. As the show expands and what we do expands, yeah, we might need to actually. So there's the question. Would you pay for TWIM? Should we put that up?
No.
No?
Nobody would, nor should they.
What if we built an app?
If you took away the free content from somewhere, I would find it somewhere else, Jeff.
That's probably true, actually.
And we would not be missed. I mean, that's just the fact of the
matter. No, I think we would be missed. And honestly, what drives me half the time of the show is I know it actually means something to some people, oddly enough.
Yeah, well, we have friends. We're like Digibuddies. Digibuddies. We're like people's Tamagotchis. They feed us. They love us.
Uh-huh.
They care for us. And then we grow into big dinosaurs in their pockets. That's what happens, Jeff.
All right. So how the heck are you, man? What's going on?
This is a real thing. I'm good. I'm doing really good. I've got a fun-filled week ahead of me. I'm off to Reno in the morning.
I'm sorry.
Reno has fabulous chicken wings, these garlic chicken wings over at the Pie Face Pizzeria.
Oh, so you get the wings in Reno.
Yeah, no. Get the wings.
I was under the impression you ate them when on the train.
No, I would not do that.
You don't go to the dining car.
I go to the dining car, but I get a half a chicken. Anytime I'm on a train, Jeff, I'm consumed with the endeavor to as though I were Harry Potter. This is what I'm trying to do.
Do you sneak around in your cloak?
I do.
You spy on suspicious Malfoy?
Women. Yeah, I go into cars and then hide under beds. Things of that nature.
Do you get chocolate frogs? Do you discard your extra Albus Dumbledore cards?
Is that a real thing? There were Albus Dumbledore cards?
Yeah, you get them with the frogs.
Oh.
Remember, the chocolate frogs come with cards, or the card comes with a frog. Look at it whichever way you want. You know.
No, when I say I pretend to be Harry Potter, I just mean in the fact that I'm on a train and I feel like Harry Potter. Not that I actually know or care anything about the Harry Potter franchise, just that I like being on a train because it makes me feel like a little kid. And you can get a half a chicken meal for $15, Jeff.
Oh, is that all? So economical.
It's a bargain. Well,
the value
to
be found on Amtrak.
I would expect so much more for a half a chicken.
I used to dig going to the dining cars on trains on my mission. That was kind of fun, actually.
Dude, I love my little train experience. Because we don't go on them very often, and so when I get the chance to
not
ride
in the U.S.
One out,
no. Yeah.
Well, because to Reno, so I'm going with a friend of mine, and to Reno, clearly it's cheaper to drive. Even if it were just one person, it would be cheaper to drive.
Right. Oh yeah,
and faster, but I have so much leg room, and I get the lean back experience.
And driving through northern Nevada is actually worse than driving through southern Nevada,
if that's even possible.
So yeah, that's definitely maybe better to maybe Oasis.
Oh, also, so this last weekend I went down to St. George, and that was exciting. Went down, did a little mountain biking, and here's something curious that happened to me. I'll tell you my little tale here. Okay. I went down there for some mountain biking with some old mission buddies, and we rode that first day on Friday, and my IT band got really sore. I don't know what can happen to an IT band, but it got to the point where I was in a lot of pain.
What does that mean? What's an IT band?
The one right on your knee. I don't know. Like, I was rolling on this roller thing for much of the weekend trying to heal myself. I was in bad shape. So I sit out the next couple of rides, and then the next day I'm hanging around, and all my buddies are out mountain biking, and I wander into a shop renting motorcycles and four-wheelers and things of that nature. Well, the cheapest thing there was a motorcycle, a 450, like Kawasaki or something.
450 now, cc's?
Yeah.
That's zippy. All right.
Yeah, it was. Well, sure. So I rode a motorcycle once when I was 15 years old. It fell on top of me and ripped my jeans off and like bloodied up my crotchable region. It was an awful, awful experience. I have never ridden a motorcycle since that day.
Okay.
So 15 years later, I'm circling back. I'm standing in this shop, and I say, yeah, I'll take the motorcycle. Let me take a motorcycle out for the ride. They don't look for a designation on a driver's license. They don't ask me if I have any idea how to ride one, which I don't.
Uh-huh.
They don't. Like, there's no background check at all. They're just like, all right, cool, dude. You're going to need a helmet. So they give me a helmet. And so I'm in there in my jeans and Vans, and I've got a Gatorade. And I'm like, is there any place to put this Gatorade? They're like, nope. And so I drink a little bit of it and just stash it under the counter, and then that was it. I put a helmet on, and they hand draw a map to get me out to the desert. And so, like, I'm carrying a piece of paper with a hand drawn map of how to get there and what the trails look like there. Mm-hmm. And the guy offhandedly remarks as I'm leaving, "Be careful! You can drive all the way to Arizona through that desert." And I'm saying, "Okay." And so I go and start the bike, and then it stalls, and I don't know how to get it in neutral. The guy comes over and helps me get it in neutral. I start the bike, and then they have me driving out through town. So I'm driving through town. I have to cross the highway. Oh. I can't manage a stop sign at this point. I cannot stop the bike and start again. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm just kind of cruising along. And so then I'm going just sort of as fast as I can out on this single track trail in the St. George Desert, the Hurricane Desert.
Uh-huh.
And I'm realizing as I'm going, I've been going for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm out about 35 miles, right? And I'm looking around me and I'm saying, I should have brought water into this desert. I should have brought maybe some sort of a GPS device or something that could have told me where to go. And I should have brought a map. I should have had a map or something. Or at least, I mean, somebody should have taught me how to do this. And so I'm out there alone. I see maybe two other bikers the whole time. It turned into kind of a terrifying thing because as soon as I decided to turn around and come back, there's so many trails out there. And I was hopelessly lost for a little while. It was quite an exciting time, Jeff.
But eventually you were nursed back to health by polygamist families.
So I kept finding, like, riding a motorcycle is so different than riding a bike. I did a Superman at some point. I believe that's what it's called. I hit a rock jump thing and was off my bike, hanging on, and then back on it. As you go up a mountain, the way that I would hold the bike, I was revving it excessively instead of like just riding. And so the bottom of the mountain was very slow going up. And as I got to the top, I was racing off the top. literally jumping. It was quite scary, Jeff. But an entertaining time for a guy whose previous experience involved the motorcycle kicking him in the crotch. So that was entertaining.
Okay. Well,
I don't feel like you appreciated that story as much as you should have, Jeff. I rode a motorcycle as one who should never be riding a motorcycle.
No, you rode a dirt bike.
What's the difference?
Well, dirt bikes are designed for off-road. You know, they might ride a little bit higher.
No lights, no speedometer.
Motorcycles are designed for pavement, primarily.
Yeah, all right, whatever. I rode a dirt bike.
But it's a motorcycle, whatever, sure.
It was still exciting.
Well, okay. Good. Neat.
What did you do this weekend, Jeff? I'm glad you had fun.
I mean, you remember when I rode a scooter that one time, and that alone was almost terrifying. Scooters in Mexico? Oy.
It was like a Vespa. There was nothing scary about that at all.
It was 60 miles an hour with nothing but pavement in front of me. All that would have taken was one flip of the wheel, and all of a sudden I'd be on the ground tumbling around. And I did wipe out on loose asphalt.
I was going to say, if I remember correctly, you did. Was it you that got the flat tire?
No, that was Mattel.
Oh, okay. What did you do this weekend, Jeff?
Well, nothing as exciting as dirt biking. It was very nice, though. I went to dinner. I went to BJ's. If anyone's from the West, you've been to BJ's Pizzeria and stuff.
You went to a chain restaurant.
Yeah, but a good chain restaurant. They opened their first East Coast location, and it's here in D.C. So we went there with some friends and overate and had a grand old time.
I think good is relative. I've eaten there, and it's like a poor man's Red Lobster.
Okay, yeah, but when you lived in Orange County, you were sort of hell-bent on just finding reasons to dislike everything that was there.
That's not true. I love the Golden Spoon.
You love California's original Froyo, okay.
Yeah, no, that was delicious.
Okay.
No, here's what I hated about Orange County is you guys were pretentious enough to just like things because they were from there, not because they were good. Not because they were better than everything else available, but because they were from there.
Now, let's think about this logic.
Yeah,
Al, do you like Five Guys?
I enjoy Five Guys, sure.
I, too, enjoy Five Guys.
Yeah.
Do you know where Five Guys is from?
New York, maybe.
Wrong.
I don't know. The Midwest, Wisconsin.
Alexandria, Virginia, where I live. But I don't like it because I live here. I like it because I like it.
Now let's go back to BJ's, the subpar chain restaurant.
Not subpar, above par. It's at least a birdie.
Maybe par.
it's fine. Whatever, I don't want to dwell on it. Anyway, we went there, it was fine. Saturday helped a buddy of mine.
Did you get a Pazookie?
Of course we got a Pazookie. It had been years. Come on.
Oh, it's so gross. It's so much just sugar. It's like a pile of sugar under ice cream.
Yeah, speaking of...
The ice cream also has sugar.
Speaking of sugar, Halloween happened, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so we bought some candy to give to the children. We put a little thing, you know, in our apartment complex, they give you little door hangers that say if you're giving away candy. So we wanted to give to the kids. You know, guess how many kids came to our door?
Nine.
Four, and they all came in one batch. That was it. There was one rapping at our door, and it was for four children. So now there's a bowl of Three Musketeers and Tootsie Rolls and stuff just sitting in my kitchen.
Oh, you had good candy.
And who's eating it? Me. I'm eating way too much sugar right now. It's terrible.
Fatty.
So anyways, that happened, and then I helped my buddy
move. Wait, why did no one else come? Because you live in a gang-ridden neighborhood?
Because I live in a crime-infested hellscape. That's exactly why.
They all went to BJ's for a Pazookie, didn't they?
Nobody was around.
Those idiot children.
I won't lie, though. There was a certain smug pride when they asked, have you been here before? And I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes, I have.
It's like going to the Cheesecake Factory and being excited about it.
It's a million times better than that because the Cheesecake Factory has been out here for a long time. No one cares about
it. Oh, my gosh. Jeff, I cannot.
Okay,
I
didn't want to sit on this topic for this long, for goodness sake. The only other fun thing that happened is I was helping my buddy move, and he sideswiped a Prius in his U-Haul and tore off the whole bumper going like 2 miles an hour. It was hilarious.
Did he keep going?
No, because it was his neighbor.
Oh, that's nice.
We pull in and we feel this kind of bump, and I look in the mirror from shotgun and say, hold on here, buddy. And then he just like tore off. I mean, it's just plastic. So he just ripped the whole thing right off. Poor guy is getting married on Saturday and was just trying to move out of the bachelor pad and get his final effects so we could take care of it. And he gets
stuck. Is this Joe?
No, it's not Joe. Joe's married now.
He's happily married.
This is Dustin Homer.
They're still happy, right?
Yeah, this would be my friend Dustin, who hosts Sunday School Bonanza with me for listeners of that show.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's good.
So Mormon news is happening. So much of it. It's everywhere.
Brandon Davies is back in the news. Did you hear about this?
Well, I know he got traded to the Sixers, right?
From who?
From the Clippers.
He was on the Clippers?
I believe now, this is my amazing basketball knowledge, ever growing. My understanding is the Clippers signed him and stuff, but he never even played, and then they just shipped him right off to the Sixers.
That's fun, because the Sixers have a history with Mormon players that go nowhere. Sean Bradley, anyone? Number 76?
Wasn't he also a Laker, so he got to hang out with guys who were talented?
You're thinking of Mad Dog Mark Madsen.
That's the one.
Different than Sean Bradley.
Yes, evidently. Tell me more.
Sean Bradley was a player who went nowhere, had a ferocious temper, and really was a bad example for church members everywhere.
Well, that's why he went nowhere. Yeah, he was a bad example.
Everybody that played with him was like, he's the dirtiest player. He's just awful. He'll like swear at you and blah, blah, blah. And the refs are just like, you're a terrible person. I've read many reports. People expected so much more from him, and he did not perform.
Well, that doesn't happen in baseball. So I'm sorry that your weaker, less civilized sport yields such poor results, that such classless individuals play it. Baseball players don't swear or chew tobacco or break the Sabbath or have their girlfriends from BYU randomly transfer to Ohio State, which has a worse soccer program, and that's really fishy about why that happened.
Who is it? Is it Bryce?
Yeah, I was just referencing Bryce Harper. Yes.
Harper, yeah. What a sweetheart. Anyway, so that happened, yeah.
Woo! Good job, Brandon Davies, from the honor code debacle of 2011 to being traded around in the NBA. And now he's stuck playing in Philadelphia. Enjoy that one, pal.
Allen Iverson died there. That's the land where people go to do nothing.
Is Iverson the guy who wears the plastic mask?
No, that's Rip Hamilton. And he doesn't have to wear that anymore.
Why not?
His face was healed?
His face was healed.
Why is that funny? That's a real thing.
I'm in a mood. It's just going to happen. I'm sorry.
All right.
I know it's to protect them, but I feel like, what's the difference between the ball hitting you in the face and the ball hitting the plastic that then hits your face? You know,
no, it's like his nose was jacked up, and so it protected his nose.
Sure, it did. I'm sure it did wonders. Just modern science.
It really did. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Tell me a Mormon story, Al.
That was it. That was the one.
That's all you have?
All right, here's the other one. Let's see. Fun one this week. There was a father and son are going to jail.
Because they died.
No, you don't go to jail when you die, Jeff. Fun fact, when you die, you go to heaven where there are virgins. Do we believe that? Is that us? I don't know. I had a great chat. All right, that's neither here nor there. So the FBI has a story. Jeff, you're in a bad place. The FBI has a story this week. Guy Andrew Williams and Brent F. Williams.
We talked about them before, right? This is
back in the day, but they finally did go to jail and $100 million Ponzi scheme. They did.
And they targeted members of the church.
And let's see. Yeah, they were down in Mesa, Arizona. Mm. So, again, people, like, if we may, let's not participate in send $1 to your 10 friends, and then they'll all send you a dollar, and then we all get rich together. That's a bad idea.
Okay. Good deal. Updates,
also,
of course.
Also, MLMs. MLMs and Ponzi schemes. I got a call from an old friend, a college friend this week, inviting me to be in an MLM. And you know, like somebody that hasn't talked to you in 3 years and is like, hey, I've got this great opportunity. I just want you to go to this website. And I get very, like, angry at them. I'm like, I am your friend. We are friends together. Do not call me with this trash stuff where you're trying to make it. But prudent investing, provident living is what the brethren say. This is neither of those. Stop it. Don't ever call me again. And then we're not friends anymore. Let this be a lesson to you people.
Sounds like you had a dramatic week.
Always, Jeff. It's always dramatic.
Speaking of drama.
Go on.
I think it was very difficult to miss at the tail end of last week. The Joni Hilton post that made it into Meridian Magazine. I'm sure you...
What a sweetheart.
You saw that. I had my thoughts on the matter, which I published over at thisweekinmormons.com. I don't know. I mean, I think we've said... I think in holy writ, most of what could be said about it. But for anyone who missed it, Joni Hilton wrote an interesting piece talking about so-called liberal Mormons. Yeah. It's a problem. Oh, let's see here. Oh, someone put commentary in it now. Point is, the post was eventually pulled by Meridian Magazine. They admitted that their editors let it slip through, and they basically disavowed it. So the only version of it I have now is actually a cached version over at Mormon Stories, but it's the same thing. Anyway, for anyone who missed it, she starts off defining kind of classic liberalism, meaning more in that classical sense, progressivism, freedom, thinkers, change, progress, you know, old school stuff. And then she shifts it over to hippies and pretentious free thinkers. She says liberal people have been to Europe and let you know it. They let you know that they've been to Europe. I have been there. You know, stuff like that. And then somehow she swings that into liberal Mormon. Now, I know that what she meant from this was simply members of the church who maybe pick and choose, you know, what they want to obey or how much they want to obey it, or, you know, how dedicated they are in terms of actual works, I guess you could say, not just faith. And I understand that's the point she's trying to make, and that's a dangerous area to be in, and that's fine. I mean, that's fair. But the fact that the way she roped it in with everything else almost made it seem like if you fancy yourself a liberal, then you are clearly on this slippery slope where you will do all wrong and not be committed to hardly anything in the gospel. You know, you won't.
Now,
you don't read your scriptures. You don't do your visiting teaching. You're a liberal Mormon. Boo, boo, boo.
Now, and liberal, by liberal, are we talking strictly political leanings, or are we talking sort of the free thinking or the questioning nature of people?
Well, and that's the thing as well. Now, I don't believe that, honestly, I mean, that she was trying to say liberal as in if you're a Democrat and a Mormon. But I do believe that she's sort of stressing that those who might think things through or might not just, you know, toe this perfect line.
The rank and file.
Yeah, are in a bad place. And that's the real problem there. I just feel like if... you know, what if I had a friend who was struggling with something in the church, who wanted to be in the church, but might struggle with, you know, we all have our struggles, but with really applying and kind of getting over something in terms of actual follow through, how would reading something like this do that individual any good?
It would not.
It would not. It would make them feel like there's a line drawn in the sand of the perfect and the imperfect, and that's it. So,
there was one comment, somebody on that article said, good that the article was pulled, but I think her bishop should be notified, and at the very least, she should be released from her calling as Relief Society president so her toxic hatred can be contained and perhaps also disfellowshipped for a period of time so she can see how it is to be excluded in the way she has excluded others who are different from her.
Yeah, see, I think that's just draconian eye for an eye. That's no good.
I mean, that, like, the problem that we have here is we have these two extremes represented in the church. I mean, we have either people identify themselves as a liberal Mormon, and this is their response of, like, we demand that the bishop take action in removing her opportunity to volunteer for free and help teach others.
Yeah, which is stupid, because we learn very clearly that, you know, people make mistakes, members of the church, even if they're well-intentioned. They make mistakes.
And when they make mistakes, the way that you handle them is not by, you know, yanking them out of there and not letting them try again, right?
Yeah, because that's no different than the same things she would be criticized for in the first place. You know, I mean, it's just the other end of that, but basically the same action. Yeah, we can't do that.
It is poppycock.
Exactly.
I hate to use that term, but I have to.
I love that term. Hogwash, I say.
Poppycock.
So that went down, but I wrote a little rebuttal piece. Check it out at the website. It was, you know, it was very reactionary. I read the article, and then I just spent my lunch hour writing what I wrote, and then that was that. So
you are a good writer at writing what you wrote, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you for the many ways that you use the verb to write.
And to love.
So that happened. You know.
So Soul Pancake came and visited a singles ward over in L.A. this week. And they have Soul Pancake does this thing on religions where they sort of investigate, or not investigate, but like try to understand other religions and present it in a meaningful way. Right. So they send a dude out, and he chatted. I thought our representatives did very well. They were two singles from the ward that are dating, apparently, and not married. This guy, like, it was actually very entertaining. I liked the dude.
Yeah, seriously, it was good.
Went and watched some others along the same lines and was entertained. So, I mean, it's cool. Soul Pancake, for those of you who don't know, is Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight on The Office, or played Dwight on The Office. It's his little brainchild with his son. And, it's just a lot of, like, interesting sort of YouTube content.
Is that Dwight's son?
No, I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
No, but they're the brains behind it. They've done things like Kid President. You know, a couple variations on this stuff. So, kind of cool stuff. Worth checking out. Give it a watch. It's fun to share that around because it's a very mainstream channel. And so it's, it's an easy sell into, like, hey, check this out.
And what I like is it's funny, but it's also a totally honest, genuine look at what goes on in the Mormon YSA scene. I didn't feel like anything was very contrived. You know, there weren't silly jokes about linger longer and who knows what and menaces to society. It was very matter of fact and good. I thought it was extremely positive overall.
Yeah. Good work, you LA people.
So let's talk about a great article here over at Wheat and Tares entitled Mormon Jargon by Hot Girl.
I believe it's Jargon, Jeff.
No, we are not in Scandinavia. I keep telling you this.
I'm always in Scandinavia.
But you refuse to believe. So the point of this is that, of course, like any other, every social group has jargon. That's to be expected. And this isn't even a criticism of the fact that sometimes we use too much jargon in our Mormon speak. I mean, think about it if you go to sacrament meeting, how it would be if everyone had to give talks where they went out of their way to not use N-words or jargon or things that only people who have already been fully inculcated into the gospel bubble, would understand already. But this is sort of a comical take on jargon. In alphabetical order, it's a lengthy list, and we won't get through all of it by any means. But there's some funny stuff, like Diet Coke. The definition of Diet Coke is gateway drug.
Ayo. Yeah, uh-huh.
Are you looking at any of these? Do you see any of these that you love now? Like appearance of evil means drinking root beer from a brown bottle or hot chocolate from a Starbucks cup.
Petting is something that youth are told not to do. The leaders are too embarrassed to explain, and people outside the church don't call it by that name.
Yeah, that one's totally true. Contention, having an opinion.
Ponder, think about it until you conform to the party line.
Yeah, there's I love feminist. Unattractive, angry woman who hates motherhood and men is an enemy of the church.
Let's see. No, there's a couple of good ones. Soul kiss. I love soul kiss, a romantic kiss, not to be confused with the soul train or the Dementor's kiss.
Primary voice, a melodic yet quiet way of speaking that doesn't cause hearing aid interference and is high-pitched enough to be inaudible to men over the age of 65.
Tithing settlement, 20 minutes of your life that you will never get back. It could be worse. The bishop has to sit through all of them. It's true. No, these are funny. These are good.
Oh, there's a couple zingers in here, though.
Uh-oh.
Relief Society, the world's oldest organization of women, under the supervision and budgetary oversight of men. Or religious freedom, the right to discriminate against others on the basis of your beliefs, which is an interesting way of looking at that one, you could argue.
Temple divorce. If you are a woman, something you have to convince your indifferent or possibly hostile ex to give you so you can remarry in the temple. If you are a man, something totally unnecessary because you can be sealed to an unlimited number of wives.
Yeah, like that one. Uchdorf has his own silver-haired male apostle that has every female member Twitter-pated, and most of the men, too.
Anyway, good times.
These are good times. Check out the whole list. It's amusing. Above all else. So.
I was entertained.
Get a laugh, folks.
I was entertained.
Another thing. Oh, let's do some quick updates on some things we've talked about last week especially. First of all, we told you last week about an office building in Boise, Idaho that had received many complaints, or the building company had, because it looked too much like a temple because one corner of it.
Oh, I remember this was.
It ascends to the beautiful Idaho sky like unto a spire and Moroni before it. It really doesn't look that much like one. I kind of get that if you chose to decide that it reminded you of a temple spire, then okay. But those behind it are caving to the demands of an angry populace. And so the operators of the building are going to alter it somehow so it no longer upsets people because of perceived religious connotations.
So, yeah, good. Finally, they took the spire down. Well done. Let's see. We have one other here. The Mormon Approach to the Apocalypse, which I think is a stupid article. And
how dare you?
All it is is just a...
My father wrote that article.
Did he?
No.
Oh. But it's
my father doesn't really write. I'm convinced he actually doesn't know how to write, actually.
Can he read?
I think so.
Well, baby steps, Jeff.
I'm pretty sure.
So anyway, it's just some dude that wrote a book reconciling the Book of Mormon with the Book of Revelations. But it was interesting to me because today I had a discussion. I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he said, oh, my friend, he's a second coming literalist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Meaning he's buying land, preparing to give it over to the church when they need it. And he's got like extra food storage for any, you know, because the end is near, like sort of, and I think we all know people like this, but they sort of live their life around this second coming doctrine. Right now, my comment was, I was like, aren't we all second coming literalists? I mean, we all believe this is happening. He said, no. We all believe it, but we pretend like it's not going to happen, so it's not as important to us. It was just sort of interesting to me to have this conversation. I'm like, I believe that that there will be a second coming, right? Like that the Lord is going to come and all of this will come to an end of some sorts and we'll reconcile, right?
Well, yeah.
Why do I not have more than just one can of Ragu spaghetti sauce in my entire house?
Because
why am I living off of chocolate bars and expired milk?
Because you don't take it seriously enough.
Well, I feel like that's sort of true, yes, but I'm just in this blissful state of denial where I pretend like nothing bad will happen.
Incidentally, if any of you work for emergency preparedness companies, we'd be happy to let you sponsor the show.
Yeah. We'll take your money in exchange
just
for
we, just
our
just thought
we'd
throw that
loyalties
out there, and we will push it and tell people that it's the best thing they can buy. It is the best rice and bags of unexpiring gravy that they could ever buy.
That's enough to get you through an apocalypse. Rice and
perfect.
Gravy.
Okay, so yeah, so I guess we don't take it seriously. It's kind of true in a sense.
But like a second coming literalist, that was such a funny term to me because I was like, well,
right.
But aren't we all? And he was, no, we because the rest of us don't take it seriously. It's true.
No, not really.
Anywho.
You remember Seth Adam Smith? You kind of know him, don't you?
Well, no, he served his mission in Russia. He does a lot of the like the cool videos and stuff you'll see on YouTube.
Yeah, he does some cool stuff. You might remember from a few months ago, I believe he published a post that said something like, what, I didn't love my wife. I don't love my wife when we got married or something like that. You remember that one?
Yeah, no, I beat my wife and now we're not married, I believe was the title of it.
Is that what it was?
He knows how to get clicks, Jeff.
That he does, because his latest article is called Marriage Isn't For You. And before you cry foul and say, how dare you, sir? How dare you tell me it's not for me? Are you telling me to give up? Are you telling me the quest is over?
Just stop reading there and assume that's what he means. Also, the classic, I hate you, why are you on my lawn? His other article that got a lot of clicks.
It's, you know, that's one of those originals that's not as well received. It's just that one. But here's the thing. What he really means is that marriage isn't for you. You marry someone else. You marry to make
it's
someone else
me.
Happy. You're marrying for a family, for future children. Marriage is about the person you married, see? It's not about you. Now, I understand
that's supported by doctrine, actually.
The point he's trying to make is a good one, because if you go into a marriage and you're focused on the well-being of somebody else, that's the whole point of it all. However, I cry bull for a lot of this. What do you mean marriage isn't for you? You think people don't make decisions because of self-interest as well? You get married because you want to experience the joy from being with somebody else. and the happiness.
Sexually, yeah, absolutely, Jeff.
You want to also have sexual healing. You want many of these things, and you get married because you want to be
Lionel Richie songs to make sense.
They do to me. I guess they don't make sense to you.
I'm not married yet.
There are many layers to Lionel Richie songs. They're like a blooming onion, and you just
like a Chili's awesome blossom.
It's just very difficult. But the point is, I get what he's trying to say, but then I feel like he doesn't really. I mean, marriage is still for you. It is. And that's good. Focus on your partner and make that your goal and make your family your goal. But it's not wrong to sit there and say, yeah, but I also want to experience joy and experience the benefits and the growth of marriage for myself because I want to be a better person and a happier person. I don't know. So, Seth Adam Smith, you're brilliant at clickbait, sir. My hat goes off to you in that sense. But I also think you're just a bad human.
Uh-huh. Quick follow-up to last week we talked about the where is it? West Virginia, the sex abuse cover-up.
Oh, yeah.
Scandal, yeah. With old boy Jensen. So a little more information this week. Apparently, this Jensen fellow was on a mission. Like, after when all this came out, he was serving as a missionary. And the church said that it did not cover any of this up. In fact, they were instrumental in getting it reported, and they reported at the time. And so they are not liable. But obviously, they said their hearts go out to the victims. And all that stuff. And Jensen was released from his mission and excommunicated and is no longer a member of the church. Which is interesting that they talk about that, because normally they don't make a statement on that. But I guess in this circumstance it was appropriate to make it clear that he is no longer affiliated with us.
Which is interesting. And I have wondered, I actually had a listener emailing me last week, the other week. And I kind of said that I see more of this happening, and I wonder if it will. Not that, you know, maybe we mentioned this last week, but not, you know, actual abuse cases themselves, but perhaps more things coming to the surface or more allegations being thrown around. I'm sure the church fields lawsuits all the time that we never hear about, but I think one of the byproducts of sort of the Mormon moment and all of those things is that we're going to have greater public visibility, I think, for when these things come to pass. So maybe the actual number of them will be no different, but we might just hear a lot more about them than I think we have before.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's just conjecture, but exciting.
Well, interesting, received.
Thank you. Interesting article here at By Common Consent. It's called "If Modest Is Hottest, It's Not Modest." Now, I want you to actually think about that title for a second and what that means.
If
modest is hottest, it's not modest, which is a fair point, because if modest is hottest, ergo, you find it hot and it turns you on, which therefore means it is immodest in a sense. So think about what modest is hottest really means to you, people.
No, just because you're a horny person does not make everyone around you immodest, Jeff.
What if someone's dressed modestly, but you still get the willies?
Still, no. Because of your reaction to how someone else is dressed does not mean their dress is any more inappropriate.
But what if it's completely appropriate and yet you still find it perfectly arousing?
That's what happens. That's what Mormon boys
are
trained to do.
Is it not therefore incumbent upon that woman to not just be more modest, but also just disappear entirely for the well-being of mankind?
She must wear the invisibility cloak on the train because there are randy men. It is on them.
Hogwarts is a crazy place. On a tangent, I can't believe I read through the whole Harry Potter series, and only like years later did I put together that Hogwarts is just warthog backward, or switched. Warthog, Hogwarts. Took me a long time to figure that out. I'm a very smart person. So
Wait.
Did I just make your mind, your head explode?
No, only at your complete ignorance. What do you mean you didn't know how she came up with the word Hogwarts?
I am not an intelligent fellow. I might have lived in the same city as J.K. Rowling, but it does not mean I really understood what she was going for.
When they traveled to York New, you didn't put together that was New York? Or
that would have been
New?
That would have been perhaps clearer. I think it was actually
this is like,
I saw...
Was Pig Latin the most confusing thing to you ever as a child? Philadelphi pay, and you're like, whoa, that's Philadelphia, but with the
I think I actually saw one of the films, and they might have shown it like a statue or a gargoyle on the campus of a warthog, and then like right then it clicked in my head.
Like, you magnificent
monster. This is like after graduating from college, I came to this realization.
You're an awful person, Jeff.
Very proud of myself. Back to the modesty thing. It talks about a couple of things, but I like this interesting study that's called Enclosed Cognition. And it's not about how modesty might affect the people around us, but how it affects the wearer's own mental state. And what this means is they ran a test where they had people wear lab coats and people wear regular clothes doing the same complicated task. Those in lab coats made half as many errors as their plain clothes counterparts. And basically, they carried on like this and found that those who dressed in a more respectful and perhaps respectable way inevitably performed better at various tasks. So it makes one wonder, is modesty, aside from all the spiritual implications, does dressing modestly actually improve your own cognition, your own ability to perform?
Not in all tasks, I believe. Like maybe women of the night on the streets.
It's a negative. Baywatch actresses.
Yeah. No, they, the more actors. Modest they are, the worse they are in those circumstances. Absolutely.
They are poorer at their
Baskin Robbins women.
Obviously.
And anybody that works on hot dog on a stick.
I'm pretty sure I just learned about two fetishes Al has, everybody.
Put on that Baskin Robbins hat. You
you go to hot dog on a stick and you're like, yeah. Yeah, you jump on those lemons. Jump on those lemons.
Wear that hot dog on your head.
So anyway.
All of my fantasies revolve around the food court.
Next up you're like, yeah, spin around on the Korean barbecue grill.
Come on, you TCBY woman.
Anywho. Does TCBY actually exist anywhere? That's a whole other topic.
I don't know.
So yeah, modest is hottest, is not hottest, is too hot to be hot.
Yeah, that guy, what is he trying to say? I still don't know. I feel like at the end of that title, all we have is hottest.
There's basically, nothing, your mind is blown. That's what
nothing. Nothing's like, everything cancels each other out. All right, let's see. What else do we have? We have a
couple other items.
A Mormon family that attends a Catholic church and says that it was nice.
I love this, actually. It's this dad took his young daughters, and they had all of these questions about what was going on. They even asked, like, are we supposed to take the communion? And he said, no, because we're Mormons. We don't do that. And they're like, why not? Da, 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 da. It's great. It's a good read, actually.
Yeah, well, and a good idea. I feel like if you live in a community, you should take a week out to go visit some of the other churches and just say hi.
Well, and the one thing I really like about it is I feel like my wife has had some really good insights about this, and I've learned a lot from her in this sense, that especially if you take this to the temple, for example, you know, a lot of people freak out or they think the temple is strange. It's different. And really, if you think about the ceremony associated with the temple, you know, it's more rites and things like that. That's not that different from what we find in other religions, but just that they have as publicly available, like in Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy or what have you. So I think exposure to these things can be good because it normalizes in our view something like the temple experience. Does that make sense, Al?
Yeah, it does. And
you
I'm
look
not
confused.
No, my phone is beeping and I'm not sure why. I'm sorry about that, everybody.
What you do is you just silence it and put it away.
Well, no, I was silenced to put away, but it kept unplugging and plugging
it's
back
okay.
in.
It's okay. I'm just going to read some news on
Whoa,
this.
Whoa, I'm sorry. I kept hearing this. So now everybody for the last 10 minutes has heard boom.
No, it's been fine. Anyway, but I think there's definitely value in that. And also, of course, the other value is it's good to associate ourselves with those of other religions and get perspective and build bridges and everything. But I also think there's a lot of value in appreciating some of perhaps the, you know, the deeper knowledge, the more ritualistic aspect of discipleship, because our meetings are largely devoid of those. So I think it's nice to get that insight because of other things that we do, you know, like in the temple and stuff.
Yeah, well, and the other side of this, well, not even the other side, but another asset to doing something of this nature is that your kids are raised not fearing other religions, but rather understanding how they fit, right? I mean, like growing up, we never went to another church, and it wasn't until my mission that I understood that, like, I even considered going into another church and talking to them and discussing what was going on and understanding what was happening. And I just feel like I had, they were unintentional prejudices. Like, it wasn't that my parents told me that they were bad or they were wrong. It was just that we never went there. We couldn't miss a week. We couldn't miss a week of our church to go to one of theirs because blah, blah, blah. And then at the same time, though, we really wanted everyone else to miss a week of their church to come visit ours. And but it was all one way, right? We would never say, hey, yeah, we'll come by and visit and see how you're doing. And then maybe next week you come visit us. That never happened.
Yeah. And it should be noted in this example, they actually went to sacrament meeting first and then went to visit his buddy's new Catholic church. But it's a good read. It's a nice little transcript.
There you are.
Other quick mention here, there is a gay rights bill going through the Senate right now. It's called the Employee Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, and it's effectively to protect, you know, workplace discrimination against lesbian, gay, and transgender people, which is great. Of course, we should not allow workplace discrimination in cases like that. Interestingly enough, though, a handful of Mormon senators are all on board with it. You know,
it's interesting. They got it?
Mormon people. Orrin Hatch is. It's interesting. Mike Lee from Utah. Sorry, I don't want to just pick sides, but Utah, you should be embarrassed that you elected Mike Lee. That's all I have to say about that.
Why? But what happened? What did he do?
He's just a schmo.
Is he a mean guy?
He's an idiot. But Orrin Hatch actually sided with this, and some other LDS politicians did as well, actually a handful of them. And, of course, I think that's good because while the church has had its issues with understanding the same-sex marriage battle or opportunity, however you want to look at it, we've always been very open in saying, but we support, you know, civil rights and non-discrimination. You could argue, of course, that denying marriage is discrimination, but work with me here that the, you know, workplace discrimination has no place in our legal system. And the church has always towed that line. And so I think it's nice to see politicians standing up for that and saying, well, yeah, I mean, why would you say no to that? It's fine.
Well, and I mean, I feel like the church must be really grateful to have a bit of legislature that they can support, that they can fall on the right side of and say, yeah, this is what we mean when we say we support, you know, the gay and lesbian community, that we don't see them as enemies. You know, this is something
exactly
that fits well.
So we may have a fundamental disagreement on the definition of marriage, but we believe you should have the full protection of the law.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. There's another article in PRI, Public Radio International.
I love it.
Called Latino Mormons, the LDS Church's fastest growing group. So, yeah. I mean, it's just talks about Mormons in Mexico.
Yeah, it does kind of talk more about the rise in, you know, like the history of the church in Mexico. A lot of Mitt Romney talk because the Romneys and the colonies. I mean, I descend from Mormon colonials. We're all one big happy family.
Why don't we go be colonials again, Jeff?
I would love to go there because of all my history, I've never been down to Colonia Juarez. I would love to go down there and like see part of my heritage.
Aren't there little pockets of people that are all just white English speakers down there in Mexico?
Yeah, some of Mitt Romney's cousins live down there. Some of my distant cousins still live down
there. How lazy that you would live in Mexico your whole life and never bother to learn Spanish.
I think they still speak it.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you remember, there was actually, it wasn't this conference, but the past one, some 70 spoke. And he was just, his last name was like Anderson, total white guy, but he had this accent. So I looked it up and it turned out he was actually born and raised in the colonies. So I believe they do know the Spanish. Also, my grandmother knows the Spanish. She was raised there.
She seems nice.
With polygamists.
What a sweetheart.
And lastly, folks, I really hope you'll check this out. I did not have much exposure to the terrific blog LDSvoicesofhope.org. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Al.
No.
But Voices of Hope is pretty great. It really deals especially with supporting members of the church who have struggled with same-sex attraction and whatever that might mean to them, whether that they think it's something they need to overcome or something they need to reconcile, whatever it could be. And one particular interview I looked at is a recent one that was just posted with Garrett and Sally Ferguson, and it's refreshing to listen to how just the candor these people have with each other, talking about these like urges he had and he didn't know why, and it's something he wanted to work through, and he slipped up and he had problems and he just tried to work through stuff, and it takes a lot of the stigma off of it. And it's something we've talked about before, that if we just talk with each other about these problems that we have and don't try to sweep it under the rug and be ashamed of everything under the sun and just try to work through stuff, it can do great things. But this couple's amazing. I mean, really, watch the highlight version or the full interview, and it's really, really insightful, actually. I hope you all take the time.
So I know both of these guys.
Do you really?
We were EFY counselors together.
Okay. Did you know that he struggled with same-gender attraction?
I did not know that.
Well, now you know.
I mean, I could have guessed.
Yeah.
But I did not know.
But it's great to just get some of the background of it, because he felt like he said, you know, he just says, like, I feel like I was not a nature. I was more of a nurture. Like, I just life experiences. It just kind of, there was this part of it for me that appealed to me for some reason and this and that. But his struggle with it, the fact that he can say openly that, like, he was open with his bishop saying that, like, look, I have these urges and these desires. I haven't acted on them. I can stand before you and say I am a worthy member of the church. But he still had to lobby hard to be able to go on his mission. But they let him, and he served a mission, and he was fine. And just how open he was with his wife about this and that. It's really, really cool to listen to. It's inspiring.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, it's very Josh Weed-esque, right?
In a way. Except the difference with Josh Weed is Josh Weed saying he's openly gay, but he loves his wife. And even though he's not, like, attracted, like, into her. I don't know that one. But, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, gosh, this is kind of crazy to see. But, I mean, really anything that takes away the stigma, right, I am a promoter of. Anybody that can come out and comfortably just say, hey, you know, I'm doing fine. I hope you, like, if you're struggling, come with us and we'll be okay. I think is really, really helpful. So awesome they do this. Good for them.
But really hope you guys will go give it a view. It's definitely worth your time. Helps you think through some things. And some of you listening might actually find it useful. I mean, I'm sure there's many of us who struggle with different things. So hopefully it's helpful.
There you go. Jeff, what a treat. You are just a dream. Every time I talk to you, your hair gets prettier and your face gets beardier.
That's because it's long. No, I finally trimmed the beard after letting it become a bushy disaster zone recently. So
I don't ever want you to use those words again.
So anyways, I'm gonna go now. I'm off to New Orleans in the morning. It's gonna be great.
Have fun, man.
You
can find us. If you guys need to find us, please find us. Contact at This Week in Mormons, or just come leave a comment on our page at thisweekinmormons.com. We love little comments. Those are nice.
Go to these things. Find us on Twitter at The Real Twim or The Real Twim or Twee Mormons on Pinterest. Or go to Facebook.com/ThisWeekinMormons.
Do that one. That's a good one.
Also, look for us on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel and our Google Plus page. Do all of these things. And, of course, please subscribe to this podcast. If you're just streaming it right now on the website, go to iTunes. Yeah. Follow that link you see.
Uh-huh.
Hook it up.
Keep
stream
going.
It on Stitcher Radio.
We
have RSS
in you.
Feeds.
You're going to make it.
Whatever these things you need, we'd really appreciate it, and we appreciate you taking the time to listen in. You know, we've been rocking
hard
for a while.
If you subscribe, it gets better.
It does get better, because you will be eligible for special offers.
And we won't email you, but you will. Email-wise, join our gospel study sesh.
Yes.
We're on Temples right now. It's actually been very, very fun.
Temples has been very good. And if you've missed any of that, please, of course, go to our website where we have them. The archives are freshly updated right now, so you can check out the old ones. But get on that email list and join the class. It's really good.
All right, everybody. Have a great week.
And yes, have a good week, Al. I wish you good tomorrow.
See
and
you, buddy.
And yes, bye. This Week in Mormons. We're peacing out. Hope you all have a good week. See you later. Bye-bye. Nothing's free in your family tree, but when it's dark again, you can believe again. We were in love in another way, in another city, in another day. But when you look in my eyes, I start shivering. I get a fever chill, I get a fever chill. And I can see straight through to the other side, where the winter's warm, but the sun don't shine.